Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved brothers and sisters. I welcome you to the broadcast today. And we're just going to continue on in a message that I began a few days ago entitled Partakers of the Divine Nature. In 2 Peter, he describes a very beautiful dynamic that we are partakers of the divine nature through the exceeding great and precious promises that are given to us. In other words, God has made certain declarations in His Word, just as we're looking now in the life of one individual by the name of Jacob, who was changed and renamed by the Lord to be Israel, a name which endures even to this day, referring to the nation or body of Jews that are descendants from his line. And so we see that there's some wonderful lessons to be learned, but it's somewhat difficult to understand. Nowhere in Scripture do we see the like of this, where a man is literally wrestling with God. What's going on? How can we understand it? It's very, very interesting. And there's a word that's used to describe Jacob after he has his wrestling match, and the Lord says he's a prince. And there's only twice that word is used. But let me share the reference in Hosea, the 12th chapter, verse 4. And in fact, maybe just let me take a moment to actually turn to that. Hosea chapter 12, and I'm going to start reading at verse 3. This is referring to Jacob. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him, referring to the Lord. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us, even the Lord of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. So what do we see here? It talks about he laid hands, he was wrestling with the angel of the Lord. He prevailed, he wept, he made supplication. And that word power, he had power with God, is that Hebrew word sur, which means to vanquish or to contend. Now, let's look at the text that we're looking at in the life of Jacob. This is Genesis, the 32nd chapter. And basically what happened, let's go to verse 21. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night, and he took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. In other words, he stayed there by himself, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw, this is the angel of the Lord, saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, this is the angel of the Lord, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob, he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, what is thy name? And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. In other words, he was changed by, after he was touched by the Lord, he had a limp. What's going on here? Well, that word Prince Sarah means to prevail, to strive, to contend, to have power as a prince. And there's only two places in the Old Testament this is used, here in the 32nd chapter that we've just shared, as well as in Hosea, the 12th chapter, verse 4. Jacob's name was changed from what it was originally, which was supplanter, to Israel, which means Prince of God or Striver with God. And you know, over the generations, the meaning of the name Israel has been a subject of much discussion. It may mean to persevere with God, a soldier of God. He fights or persists with God in prevailing prayer. He will rule as God. But the important thing to notice is the actual transformation that has occurred in Jacob. And beloved, this is something God wants to do in each and every one of us. I share this not just so that we can know some fascinating things about the life of a patriarch, but how does it apply to our lives? What can we learn? Jacob is no longer the crafty schemer plotting his own advantage, but instead he becomes humble, penitent. He is able, because of this crisis, because he has no natural help, to no longer trust his own resources or his own abilities, but he puts his trust and all that he has in God's hands. Jacob, as a supplanter, had been dependent upon his own resources and self-effort. In Genesis, the 31st chapter, verse 6, he's talking with Rachel and Leah, his wives, and he says, "And ye know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me." And then later on, he addresses Laban, his uncle, and he says, "He that he hadn't eaten any of Laban's flock, that which was torn of beasts, he suffered the loss." And I'm quoting now, "Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or night. Thus I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes." So there certainly had been God's call on his life. God's blessings were upon his life, but his efforts had up to that point been characterized by duplicity and hard bargaining. And at this point in time, and beloved, I believe this is a place in God that he wants every one of us to come to. And that's perhaps why you're going through some of the things you're going through in your life right now, that maybe desperate situation you find yourself in, because it was necessary for Jacob to realize the limitation of his own ability, as well as his need for a complete miracle at this point in his life. And there's some of you right now that might feel like Jacob. Oh, those were the circumstances in his life. You know, there was a brother of who had hatred for him 20 years earlier, had vowed to kill him. And he had not only his own welfare to consider, but that of his wives, his children, his servants, all the wealth that he had acquired. Everything was at stake. His whole life, the efforts of his whole life were at stake. And all he could do, because here was Esau coming at him with 400 men. That's an army. And there is no way that he could resist or stand against military might of his brother, who would intend, if that was intention, to wipe him out. He didn't have much of a chance. So he was appealing and going to God, the only help that he had. And beloved, that's many times we come through such really difficult situations because God wants us to realize it's not our own abilities, it's not our own efforts, it's not our own resources, but it's a total reliance upon God. And then if we will do that, we will see God work. I'm thinking back to times, in my own personal life, there were times when Brother Glass had many serious medical conditions. In fact, I'll never forget, we had been part of our minister's fellowship. He'd been in leadership for 10 years. And the leaders of the fellowship were just rejoicing because we had a group insurance that was available now to the members. And so we availed ourselves of that. He had bypass surgery. And if you can imagine the cost of bypass surgery, 3 months after that, not only we, but the members of the fellowship get news that the insurance company had gone bankrupt. And I cannot tell you the state that we were in, what credit we had would have been destroyed. We were not in debt at that point. And had we called some of our credit card companies, and they would have, you know, you would have immediately been, you'd lose your credit even if you went medically bankrupt. But God worked a miracle, and against the advice of legal counsel, Brother Glass called his attorney. He said, don't do anything, just wait. But I cannot tell you what we went through. And he went to the surgeon, and he said, doctor, I just have to share this with you. And I was quietly sitting in the lobby just praying for a miracle. And the surgeon looked at him. He said, after he told him what happened, he said, well, we're going to have to do something about that. And that doctor picked up the phone and called every single medical provider. And every penny of that was written off. And that was a miracle. I would be paying to this day on the medical cause. So you see, beloved, God is able to work a miracle in your behalf. When you can't do anything on your own, when it's beyond your resources, God is there to give you what you need. Praise God. I just feel the need to pray. Some of you need that kind of miracle. And so, Father, I thank you that you're no respecter of person. Lord, I don't often share much personally in terms of my own life or testimony, but this was an extraordinary thing that you did. We would have been paying for decades, Lord, and you moved in a supernatural way to absolve that debt, which was the result of not our own a failure, but the insurance company had gone bankrupt. So, Father, you are no respecter of person. Those that, Father, need medical help and they don't have a way to provide for it, God, I'm praying you're a God of miracles. You can supernaturally heal. You can also provide a way for medical necessities to be provided. And not just in the physical area, Lord, financially, spiritually, with the loved ones, Father, I just thank you that you are a God who moves at the point of our desperation, at the greatest time of our need, just as you did for Jacob. Lord, you're no respecter of persons. And Father, concerning the works of your hands, I call out to you in behalf of your beloved and thank you for a miracle in Jesus' name. Beloved, you just lay hold of that and believe it. And I'm just trusting that you'll be able to share a testimony. The announcer will give you our contact information. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.